So I think he's making a point that there are leaders, there are those who stand before, and we need to do the same thing. There needs to be leadership for us. You see, because we come together and we worship the Lord. We congregate together, and there needs to be leadership.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today we're going to look at a very controversial subject.
And Dave, that subject is how we are to worship in church. So with that in mind, let's get right to our passage and turn to Nehemiah chapter 12.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address again is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
And then there are those who stand opposite. There was formed worship. There was order to it. There needs to be order within the worship. And there are people assigned to different tasks, as we'll see. You'll assign. And these are the leaders. Now, these were the Levites. Now, these Levites were this is the group of priests and Levites that came first, the first generation, okay? And then you look at verse 10, we see that he gives now, at this point, after giving the generations that came out, heads of Levites and the priests, he now gives the high priests, a list of them. And Jeshua became the father of Joachim, and Joachim became the father of Eliashib, and Eliashib became the father of Joiada, and Joiada became the father of Jonathan, and Jonathan became the father of Jaddua. So here we have a list of the high priests. We have Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, and then we have his son, which is Joachim, and then we have his son, Eliashib, okay? And so Eliashib, we see that he's the high priest during the time of Nehemiah. But right before that, even when Ezra was around, you know, Ezra came 14 years earlier, we have his father, we have Joachim, we have these three, and they overlap. You have high priests that were considered high priests even after they retired, in a sense. You know, so you have these priests serving here at this time. And then he gives the sons of Eliashib, and some of those sons had been born, or some they're saying that maybe this part is addition later on to keep the record, that the chroniclers came and added this to this, you know, because it's two generations past that. That's certainly possible. But here, the point is, you have the leaders of the Levites, you have the leaders of the priests, and then you have the high priest. And then this transitions us into then those who served as leaders after that first generation, which morphs into when Nehemiah is there. And so now we come to chapter 12, verse 12. Now in the days of Joachim, and I made a list of the dates and times of how long they probably served and stuff, and, you know, if you want that, I can give that to you. So you've got over 100 years now or so that's been there. You had one priest probably serving 30 years or so, and then another overlapping, and then another, you know. And so you can see that now in the days of Joachim, the priests, the heads of the fathers' households were, again, a list. Here are the leaders. This is during the next high priest. These were the leaders, right? Now here I go, another list of names here. Mira, Aya, and Jeremiah, and Hananiah of Ezra, Meshulam of Amariah, Johanan of Maluchi. That sounds like an Italian name, doesn't it? Right? Jonathan of Shebaniah, Joseph of Harim, Adna of Meraoth, Helkai of Idu, Zechariah of Ginnathon, Meshulam of Abiah, Zikri of Mini Amin of Modiah Piltai of Bilgah, Shamua of Shemaiah, Jehoanathan of Joiorib, Mataniah of Jediah, Uzziah, of Salai-Kalai of Amok, Eber of Hilkiah, Hash Abiah of now Nathaniel, Neth and Enel. 22, as for the Levites, the heads of the fathers' households were registered in the days of Eliashib. Praise the Lord, they're registered, so we don't have to have their names, right? All right? Okay, that's what he's saying, basically. They're already written down. Registered in the days of Jehoiada and Johanan and Jaddu. So were the priests in the reign of Darius the Persian. The sons of Levi, the heads of the father's households, were registered in the book of Chronicles up to the days of Jaanan, the son of Eliashib. And the heads of the Levites were Hashabiah, Sherebiah, and Jeshua, the son of Kadmiel, with their brothers opposite them. Notice this again, little things put in here. To praise and give thanks as prescribed by David, the man of God. Division, corresponding division. Mattaniah and Bakbuk, Bukiah, Obadiah, Meshulam, Talam, and Akub were gatekeepers keeping watch at the storehouses of the gates. Okay, now you know why it took so long to get to this passage, right? There's all kinds of interesting things here, but we need to ask the question, what's really going on here? Well, again, we have these heads of the priests, and then we have the heads of the Levites. Now, this is moving up into the generation at the time of Nehemiah. And I think part of the point is we're going to see here is that the Lord had order back when they came, and he had order then. And it moves to that. But this was about the worship of the living God. Notice what he says here. He says, this is verse 24 in the middle, they were brothers opposite them to praise and give thanks as prescribed by David, the man of God. Division corresponding to division. This is order. There's stuff going on here. It's order. Okay? And so we know that we have the reference to these Levites in the line who were prescribed by David, the man of God. David was second king of Israel after Saul, right? Israel wanted a king. God gave him what they wanted. He gave him Saul. And then Saul, the Lord took him out, right? And David, he took him from the sheep field and brought him in. And so we have David. David was a man after God's own heart, but yet he failed greatly. But yet he was a man who confessed and repented. And he was forgiven. He suffered consequences, but he was a man who would do the Lord's will. You see, we're going to fail. I'm not telling you it's okay to fail like David would tell you that, I believe. He would say, don't do what I did. There was consequences. But if you're after the Lord's heart, if you want to do his will, yes, we fail. We confess. We're about his business. And David is an example of that. Acts chapter 13, 22, and after he had removed him, that's God removing Saul, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he has testified also and said, this is God testifying of David, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all my will. Now, part of David doing God's will was setting up this worship, was setting up the worship of the living God. Now, the temple hadn't been built yet. They had the tabernacle. Solomon would build the temple. David had bloody hands. God wouldn't let him build the temple. Solomon would build it. But there was worship. There was prescribed worship, as we see in the Old Testament. And so here, David the king had prescribed division by division of those who were to praise and give thanks. There was an ordering. You all are going to praise and give thanks here. You're going to praise and give thanks here. There was order, and it had to do with singing and praising him. Now, this speaks of worship, and this may indeed be a reference to 1 Chronicles 25. And so let's turn to 1 Chronicles 25 for a minute. Verse 1, moreover, David and the commanders of the army set apart for the service some of the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Jeduthun who were to prophesy with, and that's just to speak forth. I don't think they were prophesying with their instruments. It was just springing forth, as we're going to say. Prophesy with lyres, harps, cymbals, and the number of those who performed their service was, and then they give some names of the sons of Asaph and Zachor, Joseph, Nethaniah, and Ashariah. And the sons of Asaph were under the direction of Asaph, who prophesied under the direction of the king of Jeduthun. The sons of Jeduthun, Gedeal, Jeri, Jeshaiah, Shemaiah, Hashabiah, and Mathaniah. Six under the direction of their father, Jeduthun, with harp, who prophesied in the giving thanks, praising the Lord. Why did I read all that? There were people designated, very specific people designated, to do certain things, to do it musically, as we see here, to bring forth this praise of the Lord. And so then it speaks of praising and giving thanks in the context of songs. And there were leaders. And then back in our passage, chapter 12, we come to a summary of the service. Now you have the Levites and the priests, the heads, and you have the high priest, and you have the first generation to the last generation there. And then you come to verse 26. These served in the days of Joiakim, the son of Jeshua, the son of Jehozadak. There you go. That shows that that is the Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, by the way. and in the days of Nehemiah the governor and Ezra the priest and scribe. Talking about the names they mentioned, morphed into the newest names. And these served in the time of the high priest before Eliashib and in Eliashib's time. That's really that current time, okay? That really summarizes what happened. And notice what he says. These did what? They served. They served. And these were serving in the context, as we'll see, of worship of the living God. And more so in the context of music and song and praise, okay? This is helpful for us. So at this point, we need to ask, why the list? Why 26 verses? You know, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable, right? For teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, having been equipped for every good work. There's a reason for this. God just doesn't put this in there for no reason. It's in there, and we need to ask that question. So many teachers couldn't really find one that actually taught on this part here. They just skip it and go to the part that is the wall part and that part. The reality is this is here for a reason. And that's why it's so difficult, right? Now, as I've gone through this, I think it's important that God is making it clear that he has appointed leaders. And he has his men appointing leaders. And these are leaders in the worship of him, and there are servants, those who serve in the worship of him. He had a very specific order in what he did. And David refined that and brought that forth. And so how does this apply to us? Well, in the New Testament, we have those who stand before and lead, okay? We have the term rule translated in Scripture. It's proistimi, pro in front, istimi stand. There are those who lead. Now, we're going to see that it is elders who lead, but there are also those who have a gift of leadership. Let me read some passages here. So we know from Romans chapter 12, verse 8, and you can jot these down and certainly try to stay up with me, but if not, that's okay. Jot them down. Romans chapter 12, verse 8, he exhorts with exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who stands before. Now think about it. Someone leading is standing before and leading, directing the people, right? That sense. Now we know the primary leading is leading the sheep to follow and trust and obey Jesus Christ. That is the primary leading and protecting them. We know that. Hebrews chapter 13, and I'll read this, verse 7. Remember those who led you, or literally stood before you, and who spoke the word of God to you. They led by sharing the word of God to you. They shared the word of God, right? We know the same word is translated in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let the elders who rule well. It's the same word, stand before you. They stand before you. It's just translated rule at that point. Be worthy of a double honor. They're standing before you. They have charge of you in a sense, right? They're leading you, right? We know from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12, we have this same word translated a different way. We request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you, or literally stand before you. But they stand before you in the sense they have charge over you. And then we have it even translated differently in 1 Timothy chapter 3 in regarding the qualifications for elders. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, he must be one who manages, that's actually the word, stands before. So one who stands before his family is one who's managing his family. He stands before them. He is the one in charge, in a sense, right? It says here, he who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to stand before or manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? So you have this sense of order and leading, right? And certainly it has to do with the shepherds leading the flock to trust and obey Jesus and protecting the flock. But there are other duties that people do. There's also the gift, as we see, of leadership. There are those who will have that gift. Others may even appoint to lead in certain areas, to lead certain things and to have leaders. Now, the interesting thing is we're a small church. We don't have a lot of people, right? Now, certainly there were a lot of Jews at this time. There were many, many Jews, right? And so as God brings forth people, I believe he'll bring about those people as they are needed to lead. And so we want to learn these principles. We can't assume God's going to increase this church here, but we need to prepare and know biblically what we're to do as the Lord does, right? So I think he's making a point that there are leaders, there are those who stand before, and we need to do the same thing. There needs to be leadership for us. You see, because we come together and we worship the Lord. We congregate together. And there needs to be leadership in that. And certainly it's under the elders, right? Certainly initially. But the reality is we are to be assembling together. We've got some Old Testament passages I'll share and some New Testament passages. There should be the assembling of the body of Christ to praise and worship the Lord. And within that, we're going to see it not only includes praise and worship, it includes offerings. It includes sacrifices that point to Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. It includes tithes in that. It also includes the Word of God coming forth. And so we want to structure and understand our services in light of what God's Word says. And this is great instruction for us and great reminders for us. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, and this has to do with the assembling or coming in. I'm going to read this, chapter 5, verse 1. Guard yourself, guard your steps as you go to the house of God, to draw near to listen rather than to offer sacrifice of fools, for they do not know what they're doing. Do not be hasty in word or impulsive in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God. There's some instruction there, right? Guard your steps. That's speaking of those who are coming at that point to assemble at the house of God. Psalm 22, verse 22, I will tell of thy name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will praise thy name. They're assembled and praising, right? Psalm 111, verse 1, praise the Lord, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart in the company of the upright and in the assembly. They're assembling together to worship the Lord, to praise him, right? Proverbs chapter 5, verse 12, it speaks of the guy who didn't listen. He didn't listen to instruction, and he failed and failed greatly. And he talks about how he was in utter ruin, and he was in utter ruin in the midst of the assembly. Realized it, right? He didn't listen to my teachers. We see that in Proverbs chapter 5. I'll read that for you. And you'll say, how I've hated instruction, how I spurned reproof, and I did not listen to the voice of my teachers, nor incline my ear to my instructors. I was almost in utter ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation. Right? Believers come together, and he hadn't blown it, right? We saw back in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 2, that Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and of all who could listen with understanding. They assembled together. Psalm 35, verse 18, I will give thanks to thee in the great congregation, and I will praise thee among the mighty throng. We have these passages. Psalm 40, verse 9, I have proclaimed glad tidings of the righteous in thy great congregation. Behold, I will not restrain my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hidden thy righteousness within my heart. I have spoken of thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from thy great congregation. That gives us in a backwards way what happens. We're sharing of his loving kindness. We're sharing of his truth. We're praising him in the midst together. Together. Psalm 107, I mentioned this earlier in the service. Let them give thanks to the Lord, verse 31, for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. Let them extol him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the seat of the elders. And then one last Old Testament passage. Praise the Lord, Psalm 149, sing to the Lord a new song and praise him in the congregation, you godly ones. Praise as we come together of our Lord. And then think about Hebrews chapter 10. We see that we're not to forsake our assembling together. We assemble the assembly. We have so much instruction from the Old Testament that helps us understand how we assemble in the New Testament and how they praised and worshiped the Lord together. And there's assembly. And it's interesting. The Lord Jesus quoted in Hebrews chapter 2 concerning his taking on human flesh for us, becoming like us. He shares that he's going to praise with us in the assembly. Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. For he who both sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will proclaim thy name to my brethren in the midst of the congregation. I will sing thy praise, and again I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children whom God has given me. I'll sing in the congregation, proclaim thy praise. That's what we're to do together. But there is an order to it. It's not some free-for-all, as we're going to see, that happens on Sunday. That we just go out and wing it and do whatever we want. There is order and there is skill involved. And there are those who are gifted to lead and to bring forth those who are skilled to praise and to lead in praise. And we need to remember that as we grow and as we plan for what we do as a church. It's interesting, you know, we think about the plans we have for our Christmas and Easter services. We plan those out. We have different things we do and we practice that and we go to that. We go over and over again. Those are things. We need to remember those things. We need to remember how we prepare and get ready for the worship of the living God. So then, it's my view that he's pointing out those who are in charge and those who are gifted to lead singing and praise in the congregation to worship. And that's going to move and bring us into the section where they begin this great consecration of the walls, where they're praising God for what he has done. So the first principle in corporate worship, I believe, is the Lord has ordained that there are those who lead and praise and worship of him, and those who stand before and lead those, and those who have duties in the worship and praise of the Lord. Now, I've got so many passages, but if you go to 1 Chronicles 25, you can don't need to go there right now, but read through that. You'll see all kinds of people appointed and skilled in all these different jobs into the worship of God. There's all these things happening. We need to remember that, and they're all led. They performed, in that chapter, they performed their service, verse 1. They were skillful, verse 7. You know, they were skillful and performed service. Now, it doesn't mean we come and do it in our own wisdom and strength. We don't hire the Metropolitan Opera to come over and sing Hallelujah Chorus. The reality is this is believers. But God is going to gift and skill different people in different ways to lead and to bring the congregation about in worship of the living God. Obviously, not everyone's going to be doing that, right? There's this bringing forth of this praise for everyone to join in and praise the Lord. We also see, and I told you 1 Chronicles 25, read through that, and then 1 Chronicles 26, read through that. You see all the serving capacities through those chapters. For example, chapter 26, verse 20, and there were those who were assigned over charge over the treasuries of the house of God and dedicated to the gifts. There's different people assigned to different things in this worship service, and they're all being led and organized, right? Okay? So that's the first point. Well, secondly, this really falls on the heels of this. The worship needs to be planned. It really has fallen on the heels of this. Now we get into this dedication portion. Back to Nehemiah chapter 12, and let's look at verse 27. Now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites from all their places to bring them to Jerusalem so that they might celebrate the dedication with gladness, with hymns of thanksgiving, and with songs to the accompaniment of cymbals, harps, and lyres. So the sons of the singers were assembled from the district around Jerusalem and from the villages of the Netophalites and from Beth Gilgal and from the fields in Geba and Azamath, for the singers had built themselves villages around Jerusalem. So here we see the first thing, they're having a dedication of the wall of Jerusalem. Now, what's a dedication? The term dedication could be translated consecration. It is a visible giving over of something to the Lord. It's giving over to him. You are saying, this is of you. We are setting this apart to you.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the Ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, today we discovered from our passage two important principles concerning worship.
Yes, we did, Dave. And the first principle we saw was that in corporate worship of the Lord, he has ordained that there are those who lead in the praise and worship of him. And secondly, there are those who have duties in the worship and praise of him. Servants who are dedicated to serving him with their strength, skills, and abilities. Now, we've just begun to scratch the surface of this wonderful passage, so make plans to join us tomorrow as we conclude our look in the beginning of Nehemiah chapter 12.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.